From New York, it's time to go Inside Her Story with Jackie Reed. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. Now, Tom, as we know by now, a third night of protests in Charlotte, North Carolina, was peaceful. Now, those protests are in reaction to the shooting death of a black man, Keith Lamont Scott, by local police. Now, calls continue for police to release to the public videos of the shooting. Scott's family reviewed those videos yesterday and released a statement saying, "It is difficult to discern what, if anything, Scott is holding in his hand." You know, police are saying that he had a gun. Now, I'm going inside her story with Bree Newsom, who has been among protesters in Charlotte for the past two nights. Her name may sound familiar, Tom, because she was the woman who scaled that flagpole and took down the Confederate flag from the South Carolina State House in the summer of 2015. We all remember Bree. Now, Bree Newsom is also a filmmaker, a musician, a speaker, and, of course, an activist. Good morning, Bree.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, you were out among protesters again last night. Why so peaceful tonight compared to the two nights before? What happened that was different?
Well, I think this typically happens. We've seen this pattern in Baltimore, in Ferguson, in every city, right in the wake of an incident of police brutality. I mean, the first reaction that you're seeing from residents right after they have witnessed this trauma of, you know, witnessing police kill someone. It's raw emotion, so it's not an organized protest. It is just, pure reaction. And really from the folks who are being most impacted by the police state, the folks who are living in these highly segregated neighborhoods where the city has divested resources for decades because they are predominantly black communities. I'm a community organizer here in Charlotte, and what we really, try to do is just come in and really help facilitate everyone who wants to protest, just like really supporting them, making sure that folks are staying safe, especially as police are, releasing tear gas and pepper spray and things like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Now, you're a resident of Charlotte, as you say. You're a community organizer there. Who are you seeing there? Because this protest is bigger than Charlotte. There are people coming from different places for this, yes?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We've got folks from around the state coming, folks from around the nation coming. I think that, when Ferguson happened, what you heard people say a lot, echo a lot, was that Ferguson is everywhere. And we were no different in Charlotte. I remember when the non-indictment came down in Ferguson, we were holding solidarity protests here, and we recognized that there are a lot of similarities between our community and these other communities that were being rocked by police brutality. And so it really hasn't come as a shock to us in a lot of ways that this day has come for Charlotte, too, just because of so many of the same patterns that we're seeing in cities around the nation, the growing wealth inequality, the growing resegregation of schools, the stagnant wages. And then on top of that, the city and the county and the state, they use police to be the catch-all, for every issue that falls out from that. The cuts to mental health care, another major issue that's contributing to police brutality.
Now, there's a protester. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Jackie, one man died, and he was shot by
Justin
a civilian.
Carr. Mm-hmm.
Okay, who was the civilian that shot him, and why was that civilian protesting with the Black Lives Matter protest?
Well, some people are disputing.
Yeah.
His name was Justin Carr. He was shot Wednesday night. He died. And some people are disputing who actually shot him. Can you give us some insight on that, Bree?
Yeah, so I was not present when that incident happened, but those who were standing right on the front lines when it happened, they are disputing that it was another civilian who did it. What I have heard from those who were standing there was that whatever was projected was coming from a side where no civilians were standing, that it came from the police side. I've had someone say that it was a rubber bullet that actually hit him. Now, I can't say for certain, but the point is that overall, what this still represents is the level of distrust that's there, and then the lack of transparency on the process of the police only confirms and fuels that distrust.
Yeah. A lot of times, with what we see on, video by the media, on television, it seems like it can be unsafe to be out there, dangerous. Do you ever feel concerned for your safety? Have you over the past few days?
Yes. I mean, I really only feel concerned for my safety when it comes to the police in terms of escalating. I mean, last night I had two officers at one point pointing their whatever it was that they were holding. I don't know if they were rubber bullet projectors or rifles or what. But at one point, I had my hands up and I had two officers pointing directly at me. And so there are points, yes, where, you know, there can be, you know, concern for our safety. But even as we're out there, we, you know, definitely make it known, like when we are about to march somewhere or confront, you know, a line of SWAT police that may be a bit more dangerous, you know, announce that to everyone who's marching with us so people can make that decision if they, you know, want to risk being arrested or tear gassed. Or if, you know, they are not ready to face that.
Bree, I love your writing, and I think the passion with which you write and the clarity. And I was reading this article that you wrote about what's going on in Charlotte. And you're talking about the cures. Do you see progress in conversation and action about these cures for which we are seeking?
Yes and no. I think that. So I draw a lot of hope, certainly, from the residents who live here, from the organizers who are here. Folks are making very clear demands last night. I mean, one of the most clear demands, obviously, is that the police release the tape. Other demands people are making, are kind of in reference to how the city and state are spending money, you know, spending way more money on police and prisons than on, you know, schools and healthcare and these other things that could also resolve issues in our community. So I think that there's definitely a clear plan for solutions and what could happen, but there's a lot of reticence on the part of the state. There's a lack of political will, I think, at all levels of government right now to genuinely address this issue.
And are you all talking about that? Because with the elections coming up, are you all talking about what you can do as far as registering and voting to make a change?
Yes, absolutely. So even as we're out there marching, we have folks going through handing out information about registration, you know, registering to vote and when to vote. And a lot of the folks who are organizers, you know, here, not only in Charlotte, but across the state, have been doing work around, you know, not just get out the vote effort, but also just, voter protection. You know, obviously we've had, voting has really been under attack in North Carolina in the past 3 years, especially.
You know, Bree, the belief is that, you know, they're reporting that a lot of younger African Americans, a lot of people that are out there, you know, protesting with you, are not really excited about this election and not planning to vote. Are you getting that same feeling out there that a lot of people are just not interested in either of these candidates?
I would say yes and no. I think that people are looking at this election a little bit differently. Like we are definitely at a point where people are recognizing that we need radical change in just the institutions themselves. I mean, even in the way that our elections are conducted is problematic. And so I think there's this conversation of, you know, how do we really use our vote tactically, you know, as a tactic to advance what is necessary for us. So it's like whether it is, you know, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, folks are talking about, you know, what is the post-election strategy as well to really hold people accountable. And also, I have to say, there's disinterest, and I wouldn't even necessarily say disinterest. I think that both people have a lot of valid criticisms of both presidential candidates. However, there's definitely a recognition of the importance of all those down ballot candidates as well. The judges,
right.
The city council
district
members,
attorneys.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Now, Bree, quickly, we don't have a lot of time. Just ask, are you still pushing for the release of the video in the Scott case? Because I know police are refusing to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, at the very basic level, there can be, I mean, the part of the problem that we have right now is that there's simply no system of accountability and oversight for police. There really is no standard, and just recently the governor signed a bill saying that the police no longer have to release these tapes. Now that bill goes into effect in October. Obviously today is not October, so we see no reason, regardless of what just got passed in Raleigh, we see no reason why the police can't release that video, and we can at least begin from a point of transparency and clarity. The public have a right to see the video.
All right, Bree Newsom on the ground with protesters in Charlotte. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you so much.
Good job.